Someone has said, if you don't like music, you aren't going to like heaven. What a wonderful music. Thanks. Thanks to you all and the choir and everyone associated with this wonderful day of music. There was a new pastor who assured his congregation that he was their servant and that they should feel free to call on him anytime they had a problem. Well, that night his phone rang at 3 o'clock in the morning. On the other end was a dear elderly woman who said, "Pastor, I can't sleep." He said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that," and he comforted her, but he said, "What can I do about it?" She sweetly replied, "Preach to me a little while, Pastor." I know what you're thinking. I'm going to preach to you just a little while. I was sitting there enjoying, but I was also thinking, okay, what do I need to cut? Because we do need to honor the time and the people who are on the radio. So I'll be delivering a meditation rather than a sermon today. Trying to decide what to cut. It's a little tough. I've learned to be, in 40 years of ministry, I've learned you got to be flexible. Please, if you don't learn any other lesson in life, learn to be flexible. So, not going to go and fully describe what was going on in these two stories, these ancient stories we've heard. We've heard one, of course, about Naomi, Old Testament story from the book of Ruth. We've heard another from the Gospel of John, about that familiar story of Thomas, doubting Thomas, as we call him. Let me first of all talk just a minute about Thomas. You ever thought of why Thomas wasn't with the other 10? You know, there were 11 after Judas died, but there are 10 gathered. But when Jesus comes to see them on that day of resurrection, where's Thomas? Why isn't he there? I've never heard it explained satisfactorily, but my guess as I've studied human life and response and grief has been that Thomas was a person who needed to experience his grief alone. And some of us are like that. In fact, there are some aspects of grief that can only be experienced alone, but Thomas, they could not even find him apparently for days. Where is Thomas? They finally found him, and they told him what had happened, so excited about Jesus coming to be with him. And Thomas says, "It's too good to be true. Unless I touch his hands and put my hand in his side, I won't believe." And so that's this Thomas, this lonely griever. In Naomi's story, she went down to the land of Moab with her husband and her two sons. There was a famine in Bethlehem, so they heard there were crops and there was food in Moab. So the four of them went down there together, and while they were there, her two sons married Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. We don't know what happened, but Naomi lost her husband and she lost her two sons. She decided it was time to go back to Bethlehem. She still had family there, and maybe she could eke out a living. And so she and her two daughters-in-law left, and they were on their way. But at some point, she turned to Orpah and to Ruth and said, "Go back. Go back. You have no future with me. Go back to your family, and you can marry there and have children, and your life will be good, but don't stay with me." Orpah took her up on the offer, and she went back, but not Ruth. And, you know, Ruth just would not leave Naomi. Even though Naomi wanted to be alone, Ruth, who was also grieving, would not give that to her. She insisted on going with her. And there are those wonderful, beautiful words that we have from Ruth to her mother-in-law. You remember those words? Some of them use them in our wedding ceremonies. "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so the two women went back there, and it was very difficult for them. I urge you to please read it's only four chapters long, the book of Ruth. It's a wonderful, beautiful story. But what I so much love is the honesty of Naomi when she gets back to Bethlehem. The women of the village see her and they run out and they greet her and they say, "Oh, Naomi, you're back." And what does she say to them? "Don't call me Naomi." Naomi, the word meant pleasant. "Don't call me pleasant anymore. I'm not pleasant. I left here and my life was full. But I'm coming back to you empty. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter." And grief does that to us, doesn't it? Bitterness, angry, such a very natural part of the grief process. And I love that Naomi is honest enough to just put it right out front. And so was Thomas. Both stories end up well. And I hope that you'll take the time. I'm going to have to skip over so much of that. Let me cut now to the chase and tell you the things that I think are important for us to draw from these two stories, our takeaway. First, believing in God and following Christ do not exempt us from life's sufferings. In fact, they may increase it. You remember Jesus' words. He was so honest. "In this world you will have what? Tribulation. But do not be afraid, because," he said, "I have overcome the world." We all have our losses. The people that we love, jobs, health, our dreams, marriages, status, loss of hope. And those kinds of deep losses are not resolved quickly like some half-hour sitcom or two-hour play. They're more like the Game of Thrones. We can see season upon season upon season. And it takes that long for the hurt to be gone. We may not fully ever understand the why of it. But by faith, we do know that there is one who has promised, "I will be with you always to the very end." Second takeaway for us is that losses are a part of life that can teach us. They can grow us. They can equip us to understand and minister to others. You know, sometimes the losses that we experience, the hurt lasts only a few days. Sometimes they last, though, for a lifetime. And I thought about this Senior Adult Sunday. If every person who is a senior here, with the word used, mature, and many life experiences, could express some of the things that he or she has gone through and have lost, it would just go on and on. We would be amazed at the ability to survive, and we would be in tears. I taught a grief class for the ministry Contact that operated a number of years here in Davidson County. I taught the grief class, and one of the things that I would do with them to help them sort of get in touch with grief experiences was to ask them their very first grief experience they could remember. And then I'd ask them to speak or remember the most significant grief experience. And they would open up and share those. And I always came away just realizing what we walk around with that's inside of us. Sometimes I would leave those Contact training sessions and just go sit in my car and weep when I recalled some of the stories of loss. God uses even those experiences of loss to teach us, to help us to grow. God has used those times in my life and of learning from others to grow, and to grow especially in understanding and in compassion. The last thing we learn is not to be put off by others who in their grief have turned inward to themselves and away from us. You ever had that happen? Somebody you thought was a dear friend or a family member, you go to them, and the relationship's not the same. They've turned inward to deal with the loss that they face. Thomas did it. Naomi did it. I've done it. Though surrounded by people who love me, I've had a certain loneliness in the past months. Some of you knew my sister, Donna Black. And Donna and I were the two surviving members of the original five in my family. And we had a great relationship. We thoroughly enjoyed each other. We had a lot of fun. And, you know, she was the one for me. I was the one for her. We could talk about what it was like growing up in our families and some of the stories that were there and trying to understand the forces and the personalities that had shaped and formed us. And we had such wonderful times, especially in the last years when she was confined to home. But she's gone. I'm the only one left of those five in that family. And though, like you, I have had a lot of losses, this loss is different than all the others because there's no one left to share those common memories with. It's a different kind of loneliness than ever. But I have learned from it, and I find myself emerging from it. But the lesson that I would have from that experience and from our scripture is be nice to and be patient with those who have lost loved ones. Be patient with all because we may not even know what they've lost. They may be walking around with this heavy load of sorrow and we don't even know it. So be nice and be patient with each other. Paul writes so beautifully in 2 Corinthians, "Blessed be the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our sufferings so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves have been consoled by God." As the intensity of sorrow subsides, as the comfort of God's Spirit and caring people helps to heal our brokenness, we will find ourselves transformed, and we can, like Thomas and like Naomi, find ourselves being used as vessels of God's goodness. May it be so. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.